This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Spending a lot of time with the Tide. How are you, Marty?
I'm awesome. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing great, buddy. You got to see another Alabama game this weekend. This one, though, a little more challenging. I mean, I know it was 24-0, but people came away from that game saying Alabama got challenged about as much as anybody has this year.
Yeah, I think people see that if they don't protect Tua, then they can be susceptible to him getting rocked, because he got rocked, man. And Mississippi State's front is really, really good, among the best in the country. But they, you know, protection was a major concern as I left there on Saturday night. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think by any stretch it means that, you know, Alabama's suddenly vulnerable, because they aren't. But they got to do a better job than that protecting him, because he's that one guy, you know, that if he did go down with injury, it would completely change the complexion of the team and completely change what seems to be its unbeatable status. And they're really, really, really good. And I bet with the Citadel coming to town, Coach Saban's been on them like a duck on a June bug. I mean, I bet these have been the most intense practices they've had all year long. Honestly, I bet they have.
Hey, can I look at the other side? It's easy to talk about Alabama right now, but Mississippi State, and Dan Mullen was arguably the greatest coach in Mississippi State history. Joe Moorhead takes this job over. There's been some highs, there's been some lows, some inconsistencies, but overall, do you think he's got this thing going in the right direction? Does it seem like his program right now?
No. I mean, it's hard to really I think it's too early to really analyze that with any level of depth. Coach Moorhead is a really smart offensive guy, and he's led some really prolific offenses. Of course, we know he came from Penn State and, you know, had Saquon and Trace and all those guys and put up crazy numbers, and that's why he got the job in Starkville in the first place. And he's absolutely capable, and they're doing a good job there. But what is the identity? I mean, it's hard to know that right now. It's hard to see it, but they're definitely tough. They're definitely physical, and that's what you have to have in that league. I mean, in the SEC West, man, it's so physical every weekend. I was taken aback with how physical LSU Bama was, and standing on the sideline last weekend, you could see how physical, despite the scores, forget the scores, you could see how physical it was with Mississippi State as well. Coach Moorhead is gonna do fine there. He has a good quarterback right now. He has a great defense right now. But it takes a minute to really stamp it as yours. And I would say maybe this time next year, maybe the start of 20, we'll really, really kind of see what he's doing.
Marty Smith is with us, ESPN's Marty Smith, on the Jocks Roundtable with LTD&B. So your next 2 weeks away from Alabama, you go to Yankee Stadium for Syracuse and Notre Dame, and then you're in Columbus for the big showdown with Michigan and Ohio State. Two games that many people think could define the Final Four and the playoff run here. Is Syracuse ready for the challenge this weekend, do you think, to take it to Notre Dame?
Yeah, and Notre Dame's aware. I was in South Bend all day yesterday, and I'm doing a profile of their linebacker Drew Tranquil for tomorrow. What is today?
Today's Thursday.
Yeah, today is Thursday
for Saturday's show, and they're aware that Syracuse has this propensity to knock off, like that. This is a Syracuse game, right? This is one of those games that Coach Babers has. Like tends to win, and they're a good team offensively. Syracuse, they're well coached. They're tough, and it's if you just look at it all on paper, it suggests that they have the opportunity to win it. But having been around Notre Dame, spent much of my day yesterday with Drew, and was in the players' lounge area eating with him, and Jerry Tillery came in. He's one of the best defensive players in the country, and just rapped with those guys about the game and about Bama. It's interesting how players in other programs are so intrigued by the Alabama one. And they see a great opportunity here. They're 10-0 for the first time since 2012, I think. And Coach Kelly has really taken – Brian Kelly has taken a different approach. And after – because they keep going back. It was interesting talking to Drew yesterday. He mentioned the 2016 season several times, which was an abject failure for Notre Dame. And after that season, last season and this, Brian Kelly's taken a little bit different approach. And I noted that I feel like some of those super sharp edges that he had seem to be rounded a bit. They seem to be a bit softer from the outside looking in. And he is quicker to pat a guy on the butt. He'll still get on him, but he's quicker to build him up and be instructional rather than critical, those types of things. And it's working. They have so much talent. And I expect them to win this game on Saturday. I do. But it's going to be a difficult – look, Notre Dame's 10-0, but they've had to fight for it. If you look at what they've done and you look at their body of work this season, it's not like they've blown everybody out. They've had quarterback changes and injuries and whatnot to battle through. So I expect them to win, but Syracuse is going to show up.
Marty Smith of ESPN with us on the Bud Light Hotline. That was going to be my next question. So it's funny you mention it about Brian Kelly, because you've spent immense amount of time around Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, the top coaches in the game. And you know how difficult it is for those guys to soften edges. But I was going to ask you if you gathered that from Notre Dame, because it does appear Brian Kelly has, just from watching on TV. I mean, a couple of years back, he was the red-faced guy chewing everybody out. He doesn't appear to be that guy anymore.
That, too, was my perception. And I had only been around Coach Kelly a couple of times and only once or twice in a competitive environment. If you guys remember a couple of years ago, DeShone Kizer and Malik Zaire were – I don't even know how I pulled those names out at this time of day. I don't have any idea. That was a gift from the good Lord. But those guys were vying. They were battling for the Notre Dame quarterback job in the spring. I don't even remember what year this was, 15, something like that. And I went up to South Bend and interviewed both of those guys and interviewed Coach Kelly. And even being in the same space as him felt more intense and more tense than it did when I interviewed him before the Michigan game at the outset of this season. I just immediately noticed, and saying he's a softer person is probably way too dramatic a word. I did notice a different air, a different comfort level is probably the right way to say it. And so I broached it yesterday with his players, and they agreed with me that 2016 season taught everybody in that program that yelling and raising hell and being critical, it wasn't getting anything done. And Brian Kelly took a notably different approach over the last couple of years, and the players have responded. The program has responded. And Notre Dame's supposed to win. It's just like, I mean, for we're all sort of the same age. And for guys our age, that's one of those standards by which others are measured programs of our youth. They were always on TV. They always had Heisman winners. They always went 10-1. They had those epic battles with FSU and Miami all the time. They were so special to watch on TV. And they feel like that they've reinstilled that. And they're ranked third in the country. They're paying attention to everything that's going on. And every fan I see that is a Notre Dame fan wants to know, can they play with Alabama? All of them. Everybody on every plane I was on yesterday, that was the first thing I got asked.
And I'm sure you hit him with honesty. No, with that said,
I don't see it right now.
I think we all do remember Notre Dame as the premier product in college football for a minute, but you've been in Clemson, you've been in Tuscaloosa, Columbus. Facility-wise, where is Notre Dame to those programs?
They have great facilities. It's just that, you know, like Alabama, I did a little thing last weekend for our digital group where I was just standing in the weight room and kind of walking through the weight room. And I walked through the weight room and showed that off, which Bama's weight room was built in 2012. After they played Notre Dame, ironically, in the national championship, they wanted to connect the Malmore complex, which is where the football offices are, and the indoor practice field. And so they made the decision to build this monstrosity of a weight room that is state-of-the-art even still. And what is that, 6 years ago? It's hard to describe how gorgeous it is, clean it is, and expansive it is. And you're walking through there, the nutrition staff. This is the kind of stuff about Alabama and the major programs that blows my mind. All right, it's the attention to detail all the way down to each player having specifically tailored diets. If they need to lose 5 pounds, here, you need to eat this. If you need to gain 5 pounds, here, you need to eat this. If you're feeling sluggish, here, you need to eat this. Oh, you're not feeling quite right? Go see that guy. Every single game, I got 100 players. And I was talking to some of the guys on the staff when I was there last weekend. I'm a wiry little dude. I'm kind of nutrition neurotic. I would love to experiment. I'd love to have like 1 year. Let that group tailor my diet for 1 year, my workout and diet plan for 1 year. I'd love to see what the difference is. I bet I could put on 20 pounds. I'm honest to God, I bet you they could put 20 pounds on me at 42 years old. But you just look around and it's crazy. And then there's Clemson, which is this $62 million Disney World for college football players. And Notre Dame has great stuff, but there is definitely an arms race going on in the in that capacity in college football. And it's all recruiting based.
You cut your teeth on NASCAR. They used to feed you out of the back of the hauler. What was the most common food choice out of the back of the hauler? Was it bacon. The classic bologna sandwich?
Bacon, man.
Bacon.
In a NASCAR garage, you can get bacon anytime you want. And it's you know, it's good old boy bacon. It ain't just pretty turkey bacon, man. It's a straight up pig, boy.
Hey, this weekend NASCAR, they wrap it up. Harvick, Kyle, yep. Busch, Truex, and Logano. You got a favorite to win it all there?
We just did this deal that's going to might have posted yesterday on ESPN.com, where all of us that are involved in the sport weigh in on what we think. And every one of these guys is championship season. They've all been in this scenario. The only one that hasn't won a title is Logano. And he's been... Like, he understands how it feels to be in this one-race, winner-take-all situation. Truex won it last year. You know, Harvick's a champion. Kyle's a champion. And I picked Harvick at the beginning of the season. And so I'm going to stick with that. And, you know, NASCAR, I don't know what it is about NASCAR, but it seems like invariably, if there's some level of controversy with someone that affects their trajectory, almost invariably they come back and win or perform at an optimum level. So with everything that happened with Harvick after the race a couple weeks ago with the spoiler deal and them taking away his automatic bid into Homestead and all of those things, he's going to win. It's just like, it just seems to be predestined the way that NASCAR unfolds. But you almost couldn't ask for four more competitive dudes on a track like that in a winner-take-all scenario. It's fascinating to me, too, that over the past couple years, the four finalists are running 1, 2, 3, 4 almost all night long, and one of them wins the race to win the championship. And it's I expect it to happen again. It's going to be awesome to watch.
All right, catch Marty and McGee tonight, SEC Network, and Marty is on his way to Notre Dame and Syracuse. Marty, thank you for the time, brother. Be careful.
Appreciate y'all. Be good.
Follow Jim Dunaway on Twitter and Instagram, @JimDunaway.